Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Right. See, I don't think I've ever done an actual podcast.
Are we
before.
Popping your pod cherry?
You're popping my pod cherry. Say that
so
three times
exciting.
Fast. I know.
Popping
I bet you this
cherry,
is more enjoyable than any other cherry that's been popped.
Thinking about one in particular that was popped. Yeah, I bet it will be more fun.
Yeah, because that was terrible. Yeah. That was awful. I mean, it's amazing I still like cherries after that experience.
We could replicate it if a dog burst through the door just as it was popping.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
that's what
happened and I thought it was someone's dad.
No.
So, yeah.
A dog... That dog, wow. That's a good, is it just me that had a horrible cherry popping?
Yeah.
But we just talk about it in terms of fruit. It never goes sexual.
Absolutely.
We just talk about picking the fruit, popping the cherry,
the cherry
being bad.
Listeners, this was the intro.
Yeah, we didn't even need
it. Was that the intro?
Is it just me? And thank God it's not just me.
No, it's not us.
It's James
Williams. Is it just us?
And Joe Elvin.
Oh yeah, it's just us. No
it's
one's going to listen
us.
To it. So just say
Great.
Whatever you
Perfect.
Like.
Perfect.
It
Perfect.
Is everybody's favorite X Factor judge.
That is true. True.
Thank
true.
You.
True. True.
It's very. Well, I'm definitely the only one in the room.
Absolutely.
So I'll take that.
Yeah.
You definitely edged that one.
I edged that one.
And
right.
You might have guessed it's not Simon Cowell.
It's not Simon.
It's
Cowell.
Not Robbie Williams or Lily Tomlinson.
Okay, good. Yeah. It's got to be me then. It's got to be
Ada
me.
Ada Fields.
Okay.
Hello.
Great. Hi.
Yeah.
This is where like that the hand clapping emoji comes off and the like little celebration hat, right?
That's where the canned laughter and applause goes
in. Is there an underwhelmed emoji? Is that what would an underwhelmed? Oh. Is there
a tumbleweed emoji? There is.
There should be.
There should be.
Yeah.
I feel like we don't need it today.
No,
there's a lot
don't.
Of emojis we need.
Oh.
I feel like the vernacular on emojis is limited.
Why haven't you got your own range of emojis?
Oh, God, I haven't even thought about that.
You need to get your marketing team onto that.
Is there overwhelmed mommy emoji? Because that's the one I think I would launch first.
You don't look like an overwhelmed
you
mummy.
You don't. You look very glamorous.
You look like a svelte chic.
I take that.
In control mummy.
Well, it is a mirage. It is an absolute mirage.
Because in all seriousness, first of all, we have to say thank you very much for taking time out. Because not only are you in the throes of obviously crazy busy time at the X Factor live shows, all that kind of stuff, you're also a mum of three. How the hell are you holding it all together?
I don't know that I am. I think...
are you
I'm
number four
sure.
and counting Robbie?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, like I think all moms, I think we all suffer with mom guilt, being spread too thin, not enough hours in the day, wish I could do more, have I done enough? Yeah. Oh my God, am I scarring my children with this, that, or the other? You know, you always think you can do more as a mommy. And, you know... And adding a third into the mix is a completely new juggling system for me, you know, because bath time happens slightly separately from the other two because she's too small, you know, and story reading has to be, you know, so you're constantly trying to juggle it. And, you know, I've got this big new job that requires me tending to lots of little children, including my husband. So it's definitely like, I think it's just happy chaos. And sometimes I get it right and sometimes I get it wrong. You know, I think I'm
that's
tired.
Life.
That's life.
Yeah.
You freestyle, you know, improvise, adjust.
That's what people say to me. How do you juggle it all, Joe? And it's like, well, I kind of do everything in a slightly half-assed way.
Yeah, exactly.
And sort of like just muddle through.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how it works.
Yeah, I'm not terribly
that's
good
life.
At all of it.
I'm patching things together
exactly.
on a daily basis.
100%.
I'll never forget more literally than the time that I'd forgotten to, and my daughter's a bit older now, but I'd forgotten to do an envelope for the Harvest Festival. They
oh,
wanted
no.
to decorate a Harvest Festival envelope. So on the way to school, envelope in one hand, glue in the other, picking up autumn leaves from the path and gluing them onto the envelope
that is so
as
fashion.
I walk to school.
That's fashion.
It's like,
Thinking on your feet.
Thinking on your feet.
Resourceful.
Yeah, it's resourceful. Yeah, it's great.
It wasn't desperate and neglectful forgetful.
It's not. It's none of those things. It's absolutely none of those things.
It's doing everything in a half-assed
way. It is. Now, I have to ask you, so Ida, were you always a bit of an Anglophile? Because I feel like you've taken to the X Factor. It feels like you've taken to the
like
UK.
Like a crack whore to an alley. Yeah.
Those were the exact words that were going to come my way.
Do you know what? I've always been a bit of, I always thought I was a bit of an oddball growing up in LA. And I think because my family, like my grandmother lived in Paris my whole life, my uncle lived in London, we've always been kind of very non-American Americans and very European. So I think I always had what I thought was an oddball sense of humor, you know, and I was a bit of a humor black sheep because I'd make these jokes full of irony and dark cynicism.
Crackcore.
And that just didn't work when I was seven. People just didn't laugh.
They just didn't get it.
But then kind of, you know, Robbie, you know, minced into my life and was...
Minced?
Well, he's a mincer.
I can imagine.
I love the rumors. The rumors are true. And he, you know, had the same kind of oddball sense of humor. And it was like love at first laugh because we kind of just... clicked, and it was the first person who really understood me, and I understood him. And so
I have to say, I feel that like you and Robbie are single-handedly, for the cynics of the world, and I count myself in those people that don't really believe in the word soulmates. You guys are giving us reasons to believe in that idea
really
again.
Thank
I do because it does.
Still,
it feels like a genuine partnership in life.
We have
and
a
now
genuine
work.
Partnership.
Yeah. I'm slightly struggling to picture you in Stoke-on-Trent.
It is a visual that is unique in its own right.
I'm seeing wellies.
And don't get upset with me, Stoke-on-Trentians. Yeah. Because
by the way, I love Stoke-on-Trent.
I go to Mansfield all the time for my in-laws. So
I love Stoke-on-Trent. But you know, it's funny because even Robbie, when we first got together, he was trying to tell me about Stoke-on-Trent, and he showed me on Google Earth, and I went, "It looks identical." Idyllic, babe, because on Google Earth it does look very idyllic, and babe, Rob was like, I don't know if idyllic is the word. Listen, whenever I go to Stoke-on-Trent, I have oatcakes and pie clits and
pie what?
Pie clits.
Which, by the way,
when pie clits, I was thinking,
well, oh my god!
By the way,
that's a different podcast.
But that's what I thought it was called at first, because you guys have a dessert apparently called spotted dick as well. So
a pie clit is not too much of a
pie clit.
Listen, mate, I'm Australian,
right?
Don't include me
right?
in this.
Okay, yeah. Well then it's you, all my, right? Yeah. It's weird. A child can ask for a spotted dick, and it's given a spotted dick. What kind of cockamamie? They say Americans are strange.
Oh, my God.
So I thought it was pie clit, but no one was batting an eyelid. So I was like, I guess it's just like a translation thing. But let me just tell you, a pie clit or a pie clit is delicious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So good.
They are my favorite, the pie clits.
So good.
Yeah.
The pie clits are good, but it sounds very strange coming out of your mouth.
I love a pie clit covered in honey.
So good, right?
I can't get the visual.
Better than a cherry being popped. Better than a cherry being popped.
I can't get the visual out of my head now. But my question for you then, Ida, is where is home?
Oh, wait, no, but can I just tell you, there was a really funny moment when I was in Stoke-on-Trent, because I love Stoke, you know, it's where Rob grew up.
Yeah.
It's where Robbie grew up. And, you know, I always, you know, he gets nostalgic there, I get nostalgic there, but it is very different from Beverly Hills, California.
Is it?
No.
Which is where, is it real? Yeah. I mean.
There should be twin towns.
They are kind of twinning.
Yeah.
So,
you should get that campaign going.
I should get that campaign going, right? Get people signing it up right now. But we were there, and I remember we were at the park. Robbie had just gotten the key to the city. I was pregnant with Charlie, and we took Teddy to the park. And we were having this really nice moment, and we were looking down on there was like a basketball area, and there was kids, and there was one of these kids riding a bike. And Robbie said, you know, I kind of, it was really sweet growing up here. It was really nice. And then we looked over, and just as he'd said that, the other kids knocked the kid off the bike, beat him up, and stole his bike. And I went, yeah, I see what you're saying. But it was that perfect comedic moment where, like, they just took the kid's bike.
Well, that poor kid.
Poor
I know. We laughed naturally.
Of course. It was like something out of Enid Blyton.
Yes, exactly. If only there had been an illustration alongside it.
But my question was, so where do you guys call home now? Do you feel like you're sort of caught between two?
I think it's both, really, because, you know, we have family on both sides. I have family in LA. He has family here. I think home is where the heart is, and wherever we are in the world is kind of home. I think people think, well, how could you have two different places be home? But I really do feel so at home when I'm here. When I'm here, people say, what do you prefer? When I'm in in the UK, I actually prefer the UK.
Yeah.
And when I'm in LA, I prefer LA. I just get, you know, I adapt. So it's like when it's I'm sunshine and barefoot and hiking and all that stuff, not hiking barefoot. Let me just say that. But, you know, when I'm in LA, it's easy breezy and I love that. And the dogs are out and the kids are doing art naked.
I think I prefer LA.
Well, I was going to say, I have to say, days like today when the weather is as bad as today, it's a challenge to love the UK today.
It's a challenge to love
it's
the UK.
It's testing you today.
It's testing
it's that,
me
it's that
today.
Kid or that new puppy that's testing you.
Yeah, this is the puppy that's just chewed up my new shoes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a good day today.
It's not a good day.
You know, we'll get through it.
But Christmas time here, walking around the city, the beautiful buildings, and a summer day in England actually beats a summer day in LA because it's just perfect.
And it's so
and
rare.
It never happens.
Because it's much more
exactly.
exciting.
Exactly. It's like
a unicorn.
It literally is like a unicorn or like a summer solstice. It just happens once every 100 years.
That last day of summer, wasn't
it? Yeah. That did quite a nice way. But how British are we now? We're talking about the weather.
Because we're so starved for good weather.
You are an Anglophile. We've got you on the weather.
I'm complaining about the weather.
But talking about Christmas, I mean, it's around the corner. So where is it going to be this year for you guys?
Well, it's always a last minute call.
Ah.
I think it's going to be in LA, but Robbie has some work up until the 21st in Europe, so we might just.
Do you need him?
Not really.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got the kids and Santa's on his way, so I don't really. He's kind of irrelevant to the whole. It's really where I feel like spending Christmas.
Yeah, it's the weather keeps.
Where
up
are you
like
guys
this.
Spending Christmas here?
I'll be
I'm
here.
Going to Mansfield.
Yes, get in.
I think I win.
You win.
No, most, I can't wait. Actually,
do they get all like decked out and Christmassy?
Yeah. And it is. It's actually because having Aussie summer Christmases is actually really nice. And my mother-in-law still makes the best Christmas dinners. And,
does she?
Yeah.
Does she do it all herself?
Pretty much. She won't let me help.
Wow.
That's my excuse.
That's my excuse. You cling to her.
Yeah, you.
She does roast potatoes and mashed potatoes.
Oh, that's so accommodating.
It's a bit extra, but we won't
argue.
Yeah,
but on Christmas, there's nothing wrong with extra.
The rules go out the window.
Do you know, I actually used to say that I preferred mashed potatoes to roast, but just Sunday we had a roast and I really enjoyed the roast potato and I was walking up the stairs to my bedroom going, I think it switched. I think I prefer a roast potato.
You're at a potato tipping point.
Is that because I'm getting older?
A seminal moment.
It was. I literally had the moment where I was like, no, other team now. Roast potato.
I've been thinking about this. Family meeting.
I need to call.
We're a roast potato family.
What do you guys prefer?
Roasties.
100%.
Yeah, I know what you mean, actually. I feel like a bit of a slut saying this, but I have an appreciation for both.
Yeah.
No, my husband does make the best roast potatoes in the world.
Really? Yeah. Like extra crispy?
Yeah.
That's
incredible.
The thing. Like, just, it's the crispiness.
Yeah.
But if you throw truffle in there, like a truffle mash, oof. I could be swayed.
See, truffle I can sometimes be a bit
too
overpowering.
Too consuming.
It's like having a second job. It can be a bit too much.
It's just overwhelming.
We might need the listeners to weigh in on such a hot topic.
We've literally gone in, but you know.
I'm like a truffle whore. Anything. You could throw truffle on dog shit and I'd be like, I'll consider it. It's truffle season.
Amazing.
I might test that.
I was going to say, I mean, like, let's not call me on that one.
No.
That might be a bluff.
Well,
but,
funnily enough, we have a fresh turn.
As it turns out, your dog Poupette has weighed in on this conversation.
We do need to quickly talk about, obviously, the X Factor.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking about Christmas. By then, will you have had your first X Factor winner, do you think, this year?
Well, I would like to hope so. Listen, the overs category is the hardest category.
It's always hard.
I know the odds are stacked against us.
He's still standing as we speak, though.
But he's still standing, and Danny's not been in the bottom two, which I'm very proud of.
No.
You know, I like to keep going back to the Leicester City victory. You know, it's like no one saw it coming. No one thought it was possible.
I'd never heard of it till just now.
Well, anyway, recently it was. That's not the story I want to focus on with it. It's not that one's not the one I'm trying to inspire
him
with.
I'm sure you're right. Yeah.
But, you know, I just kind of think, listen, it would be a great bit of magic if Danny was in the finals and if Danny won. He's very much a deserving winner. He's got a great story. He's the heart of this country. You know, he really reminds me of kind of the soul of this country. He's got such a great sense of humor. He's authentic. He's not packaged perfectly. He's very just wears his heart on his sleeve, completely authentic, had his knocks, faced a lot of no's, doesn't fit the image of a pop star, and yet he's here standing, and he's so talented. I just love him. He's
and he's
amazing.
Going on tour, regardless
and
of what happens.
That was a huge milestone for me. When he made it through, I just thought, oh, thank you.
Because like, that is going to change their life.
That was the marker for me.
Can I just say, I want you to win.
Thanks.
Hand of my heart.
I think a lot of people will be voting for you. I really do think, you know, you've just taken to it like a duck to water. And obviously, you're a loose swimmer. You know, you've literally embraced this country. You are properly
thank
an honorary Brit,
I'll
whether you
it.
Like it or not.
I'll
hence the
it.
Roast potatoes.
I'm in. I'd like to be. I'll change the passport. I'm happy to.
Well, you got to grab that purple passport where you can.
I know.
I've got mine.
You've got yours.
They're going to take it off me, aren't they?
are they?
Do you think?
Well,
they're not
going to
rip it off. It'd be so cold.
No. Yeah. Your cold dead hand, Joe. Don't let it go.
No, don't let it go.
It was good while it lasted.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, what a bit of a downer there.
I know.
Sorry. Get back to dog shit.
Back to truffle dog shit.
Yeah.
Yum, yum, yum.
Yeah.
Well, I do feel we should move on to some topics, though.
Okay.
An actual burning topic.
A burning topic.
Although I feel like we've covered a lot already in the first 10 minutes.
We have covered so much.
Is there anything left? I think we've got plenty.
We've got tons. I'll just keep going till I drop.
Let's do it.
Okay.
First up then this week, ladies.
Yes.
Is it just me who, even though I'm now very clearly a grown-ass human being, that still has this thing about wanting to be teacher's pet? Now, I say this because I didn't realise. I actually always thought I was not a very good student, but on reflection, I probably was. But I mean, now, because when I apply myself to things, whether it's a hobby or a job, I didn't realise until my friends pointed it out to me, I literally have to be the best. And I really, and it's not just about a sheer like bloody determinism about winning or competitive spirit. It's about me being hard on myself.
And being 100%
and being a good boy. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing for me is like more than competitiveness. It's like I really want to make like we'll call it the teacher happy. Like it doesn't even matter if it's like in work, in a workout class. Like even today I took a workout class and I'm like when they came, you know, and they're going through to check the form. I'm going, I hope she thinks I'm doing good form. I hope I'm doing it right.
That's
I hope
how this
she,
idea
you know,
came to me. I was like, in a workout class and I literally thought, oh my God, you are such
a
nerd.
Such a
you're literally like that, trying to do the best
I'm
form of your life whenever
geek.
The teacher comes around.
It's so lame.
I know.
Like everything I do. It's like if I took a gingerbread making class with my mom last year, and I was like, I hope I'm piping correctly, and I put the icing in. You know, it's like I always need. And I was like that in high school. Like I was such a geek.
Were you a good student then?
I was a really good student. Yeah. But
I was a teacher's pet.
Were you?
Oh, yeah. And it's a bit of a double-edged sword, though, isn't it, when you literally are a teacher's pet? Because
people hate you.
Yeah, because you know, you want that. You want that validation.
100%.
And because that means you're getting less validation from your peers because you're that person, you seek that validation even more. So
exactly.
It's just a messed up.
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Well, see, my thing was, I was always a good student. Like, I always did good grades. I never bunked off school. I was always there. But I was incredibly chatty, like far too chatty,
right.
A bit back chatty.
Back chatty.
A bit back chatty.
Ooh.
So
teachers' pets are normally back chatty.
Well, I know. And well, that's what I mean. So
but
I
that
think,
makes you kind of cool.
Well, that's what I never
you
thought.
You probably had more friends than we did.
Well, that's why I never thought I was one. Because, to be honest, the teachers used to say things on parents' evening. My parents would get quite a hard time because I think weirdly they found back chatting, because obviously it's more of an intellectual thing, isn't it, when you'd point out holes in their argument or say, well, why are we doing this, I don't understand why.
See, I was too much of a teacher's pet to ever even do that.
Same.
Such a weak piece
but like the
of
but like the teacher,
like, no way,
like just one of those gold stars, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
What I meant was the kids that literally would punch the teachers in the face who were properly disruptive were not
cool
hated
kids.
As much as me, because my I think I was probably more challenging because
because you were like so smart, you're like, and
well, I don't know, not so, but I think I was just annoying about pointing out little holes in their arguments about
like
things.
Like pedantic.
Or just going, why are we doing this?
Because you said we were doing that and we weren't doing this.
Exactly. So weirdly, I guess I never thought I was. And so now, as a grown-up, I feel like, oh God, you totally are. You do want that validation.
Oh no, it's Robbie always makes fun of me. I mean, like literally down to like if I'm taking Benadryl or Piriton and it says like take one, but if two, if you, you know, really need, and I'm like, should I take the one or should it just, but it says two and I should take, I mean, I'm teachers petting the directions on them. Like literally there's no limit to how broad my teacher's petting can go to. Like, I don't know. Like, why are we like that? What happened to us?
I do think it does tend to be more of a girl thing.
Do you think?
If I'm honest, I think that yes, girls are taught to be good,
good.
And I think that's such a hard sort of like programming. to override. It really is.
But I guess
is.
Then as mothers of daughters, how do we then readdress that balance?
I think it goes back to what we were talking about before, like too, with the mother guilt and not feeling like you're doing enough, because I have this need to be the perfect mom, which of course you can never be the perfect mom. So I'm trying to, you know, it's like I'm doing the gingerbread thing for the kids and the baking and the, I want to make sure they have a great Father Christmas and we've got you know, the reindeers, and we got to go ice skating, you know, and you can never keep up with perfect because it doesn't exist. So I think it's actually something I want to work on so that my daughter doesn't inherit that, because actually that notion of having to be good all the time is not great.
Living the perfect life. Yeah. Doing the perfect activity at the perfect time.
Yeah, it's
but
so
it
much.
But it is hard, though, isn't it? Because you want them to be good students. You want them to be good people. But at the same time, you don't want them to feel they have to be perfect.
Exactly.
How do you find that balance?
I don't know. I'm probably getting it wrong.
But you and everyone else, I think.
Yeah, it is a hard one, though. Just like you said, it's like a deep programming. And it's like, you know, you have to kind of like skate that line of listening but not being, you know, subservient and going against your boundaries. I mean, it's like all this weird stuff you have to get right.
But I do think it's not just us, going back to, you know, being on brand for the podcast. It's not just us, because I have to say, because when I then genuinely meet somebody who gives zero fucks, they literally are not people.
Zero fucks given.
Yeah. They are extraordinary.
Who are these people?
I don't know them.
When you meet them, they literally blow through your mind, because you're like, oh my God, you are such a breath of fresh air, because you just do not give a fuck about pleasing anybody or about getting brownie points.
But they are sometimes sociopaths.
Yes, exactly.
There's a certain lack of empathy with that too.
That is true.
You don't
yes.
want to be someone who doesn't care about anybody else's
absolutely
feelings, or
it's just sometimes quite refreshing.
No,
it's
it
quite
is
good for a Christmas
well
party.
Sometimes, you know, like it's nice being with Robbie, because he gives less fucks than I do. Yeah. I wouldn't say, because he's also, you know, an eternal validator, needs validation too.
But Robbie's not as
his own path.
Exactly.
You know?
He's more of a rebel than I am.
And also, Robbie was famous from like the age of 14.
5 years, an embryo, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, to be fair, he wasn't even barely in school.
Yeah, so he doesn't know about, but
what
he's
is
not
teacher?
A teacher's pet. Exactly.
And Robbie's like, what is this teacher?
He would
you
break
speak
it
of?
Down into pet and teacher. He wouldn't actually know what it meant. No, do you know that with Robbie, I thought he, I remember he said he wasn't a very good student. He said he got a D in something. And I'm going, wow, what a, oh God, a D. I can't even imagine. And then I only discovered last year that D was his best grade.
Oh.
That was his best grade. It wasn't his worst grade. It was his best.
Aww. So that's the thing I always try to tell myself about people whose D was their best grade.
Look at him.
And they're fine.
And Bill Gates.
Why was it such a, it was, if
it's
I got a B,
a
it was a massive
Me
disaster.
Too. I only got one B plus ever, and it was in the ninth grade, and my teacher, that bitch, Miss Lee, should have given me an A minus, and I'd been out for pneumonia. Yeah. I
still
fucking remember it.
Yeah.
If I saw her, I would hunt her down right now and question her.
Were you devastated?
It's the only one I ever got. Luckily, when you're applying to colleges, they take from 10th grade to 12th grade, so it was all A's. But literally, like a red stain on a white dress, it was like, how could she?
And you know, I don't know if my good grades really made a difference.
No,
to
it made
I
no
am.
Difference. I peaked. Yeah. I peaked.
Well, I always say this one. No one has ever asked me to present my qualifications on paper. You know those things you spend hours as a teenager. You know, you like slog over. No one's ever once asked me to produce the paper that says I have the qualifications I have.
Should we do it just so we validate our own hard work and people pleasing?
Sure, I've still got mine somewhere.
Should we just present them to each other and congratulate each other?
I might put my certificate up on my office wall.
I love the idea of us having a selfie certificate. Like three of us holding all of our grades.
I think we should. We really agonized over them. My God.
Well, if you are sat there listening, wherever you are in the world, going, yes.
I hope there are a lot of people pleasers out there.
Yes, I think if you're a teacher's pet, be proud of it. Do drop us an email. We love hearing from you guys. The email address is
Teacher's pet stickers and give them to people.
We should.
We should start a club. Anyone out there want to join our club?
Hashtag teacher's pet.
Teacher's pet. Yeah. You know, hopefully, the email address.
But I
want to
be the best one in the club.
You have to be exactly.
So you and I are going to have problems.
Yeah. That's the best. We're all going to want to please each other in the group and be the best at being in the group. Oh, it's going to be terrible. Yeah. We should not, actually.
It might be a dreadful idea.
Maybe we start drinking during the meetings, just so by the end of it, we have no idea what's going on. But we're just unconscious.
If we have called your teacher's pet instinct, do drop us an email. The email address is isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. I wanted to give a quick shout out to
Sophie. Make sure you make your email the very best.
Oh, and make sure there's no spelling mistakes. Yeah. No spelling mistakes
really
or grammar.
Be impressed.
We will be forwarding it on to Ida. She'll be correcting it.
What is it that they say? Make it stand out.
Yeah. Make it stand out. Make it the best email you have ever sent.
But yes, well, Sophie, you sent Sophie Beckett sent us a lovely email this week. You said you just listened to the Molly King episode, and it's about the double kissing. We did a whole thing. Well, you know the sort of media.
Is that like double dipping?
You kiss on both.
It's not like double dipping. That's the worst crime in the world.
Yeah. That's disgusting. Yeah. That's bacteria.
So when you kiss on both cheeks, you know.
Yeah, well, I kiss on both cheeks.
Yeah, well, see, some people don't.
But this is the thing: is some people don't, and then you go in for one, and then you go in for the second, and you almost hit the mouth, or they pull back.
Are you going to love this? Because that's what Sophie says. Sophie basically says, "I agree with Molly. Go in for a hug, because if you know or like the person, it's not just a hello. And in a professional capacity, just do a good old-fashioned handshake." So there you go.
There we go. Because I get that. Helen, I mean, I double kissed you.
Sophie Beckett. Hello to a Helen. Kim, Sophie Beckett.
I think a double kiss.
She talks a lot of sense.
She does, Sophie.
She does.
Thank you.
I get
it
wrong constantly on that. And then because I'm such a people pleaser, God, that was so stupid.
You lie awake at night going, why did I do that?
What an idiot.
Why did I accidentally kiss Simon Cowell on the lips again?
Yes. Again, yeah. I keep doing it. Yeah.
I mean, you are but human.
I am but human. I mean, you know.
So guys, please do follow in Sophie's footsteps and drop us an email. The email address again is isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com.
Is it just me? It happened the other day. It happened when I walked in here. Is it just me? Or am I the only one that now makes grunting, horrible noises when I sit down, get up from a car, squat? There's a sound that accompanies my movement now that did not happen 10 years ago.
Is it an age thing? Because I do it too.
I think it is an age thing. I remember not doing it, and now also, I definitely
yeah,
do.
But it's like snuck up on me.
But are you like me? Because I will sit down or get up and go, ugh, and then... And I actually don't think there's any physical need for me to make that sound.
No, probably not.
It just comes out.
It just comes out. That's what I mean. Yeah. It's not like I sit on something and it pricks me and I'm like, oh. But it's just it's a visceral
it's basically like an oral fart.
It is. It's like an oral it's a horrible way to think about it.
And my daughter takes the pee out of me every time. She says, why do you always have to make noises? And I thought about it and I thought, I don't know.
But
I do have to.
But whenever and my girlfriend and I, we were actually on the way to X Factor and we got in the back of the van. We both sat down at the same time and went, ugh. And I said, oh my God, that's that thing again. Like what? Like, and I remember when I was a kid, like adults, you know, like grown-ups that are probably younger than I am now, but adults going, oh, my back, and just wait till you get to 35. And I was like, oh my God, that's so lame.
I'm never going to be that.
And now it's like, and because I'm a mother of young kids, because I didn't have them at 15, when I go, they're playing Magna Tiles on the ground. They go, mommy, let's build something. Honestly, there's a flash second where I have to commit in my head to going down, and it's like, okay, we got to do this. And
knees engaged.
It's like locked and loaded. Knees, you ready for this? 3, 2, 1, down.
Boom.
And then the same thing to get up. They just pop back up. They just pop up.
Do you think it helps, the actual making the noise?
I don't. I don't think so, because I don't do it with ease. Why does the noise come?
I don't know. Maybe
what is it?
Maybe it's replacing orgasms.
Well, that makes sense. That actually does make sense.
Well,
that's totally
no.
I have to say, my mum is a terrible sire.
Yeah,
you know, she's just one of those. And I started sighing. I just do like a. And sometimes it's like, oh, I've had a nice day, and rather than say I've had a nice day, I'll just go.
Do you think it's because we're too tired to say the sentence?
But I'll do it when I'm alone. Is that really tragic?
I do the grunting when I'm alone.
I do. Okay,
it's just all the time. But I mean, do you do the thing too where when you get out of the car, there's this physical thing where when I get up, okay, first the knees are engaging, but then it's this and then I do the back. Like the butt's back, like kind of a mid squat, and then back, and then I push the hips forward. Like it doesn't happen in one, like this doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, but try that on the tube when you've got an audience.
Oh.
And you're thinking, okay, I've got to get up. And I'm going to have to get my balance. I'm going to have to do it in one move. One move. Come on, knees. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. And you know everyone's looking at you.
It feels like the Olympics, doesn't it? Like a dismount from the pommel lift.
It is the middle.
You have to stick the landings.
Do you talk to yourself as well then?
100%.
Yeah, a lot. As in a lot.
Like a lot. Like if you were to film it, you'd think I'd have some sort of disorder.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, oh my God, where do I put the keys? I don't know where I put the keys.
Yeah.
Oh God, I've just got to. Oh no, I've got to go. No, I'm late. I've got to. That happens all the time.
I think we should just embrace it. This is who we are.
Because my flatmate does. She talks. talks to herself and to the TV a lot. Like she actually physically reacts
James,
to what's happening at TV.
I didn't know you had a flatmate. Are you sure you've got a flatmate?
I do.
Yeah, I'm so sure it's not in your head.
That's who I'm talking to.
Are we role playing here?
Information for me.
Yeah, I was about to say, is your flatmate wearing a jumper as well?
Yeah, that's right. Oh no, you saw straight through it.
Yeah.
No, but it is funny to me because I mean, I've not got to that stage.
I don't do the TV talking.
I don't react to the TV.
No, like,
but it's like people watching football.
Rob does that. Robbie will react. Like when we were watching, we were on holiday and we were watching the World Cup, it was very loud. But it was just a room full of Englishmen. There was shouting, there was body odor, there was jumping at the teeth. I mean, it was...
It helps the players play.
Did help? Really, I was like, they're definitely playing better because you're doing this. Yeah.
My friend James Wood, massive football fan, he does that. Gets very stressed and literally shouts to the TV during
football
matches. How is that helping?
You're 6,000 miles away, dude. Nothing. they can't hear you. They can't hear you, Robbie Williams. They can. Yeah. They probably can.
But,
I'm wrong.
I worry that I don't talk to myself so much. I tend to just...
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I swear at myself, which is not good.
You fucking idiot. How do you fucking do that? Yeah, but that still counts. That's a teacher's pep bit coming out. Yeah.
I know, but I feel like I need to have light and shade. I need to then say nice things to myself rather than just constantly swearing at myself.
Yeah. You're so fucking awesome.
Exactly. You know,
fuck you. You're fucking amazing.
As somebody said, you know, if you were your friend, all you did was swear at you, you'd be like, you're not my friend, go away. So I kind of need to have that word in myself. If I'm going to embrace the talking to myself or the swearing at myself, I've got to embrace that.
Sometimes I do need to be told I'm a moron. Like when
do you use very bad language with yourself or no?
Yeah, massively.
Yeah, I use very bad.
Oh, you've got to.
Bad.
We don't need another Apple warning on the podcast, so I won't say.
Oh my God, am I not allowed to curse?
Oh God, no.
I've ruined that.
You've come to the right podcast, don't you?
Okay, you know what? I should have asked.
I love that you didn't.
I'm knee deep into some very, very dirty potty language.
You've been bad, Ada.
I've been so bad. I mean, it's not even, but do you know what I do like?
There's a cross going against your name.
There really is, like a tick. Do you know what I really appreciated was there was a thing about how they were worried about, which was not true, but where they were worried about my potty mouth. And last weekend, it was Louis that dropped the F-bomb. I have been very clean with my mouth. Louis live with the F-bomb. So.
But you're used to that with Loose Women. I mean,
Yes. I didn't know when I went on Loose Women that pee, like piss, like because I said it was pissing down, raining, because I'm married to Robbie, who is a sailor. I didn't realize that was actually not a, like a, just an English word you could use. And so I said, oh, and it's always pissing down, pissing it raining. And they just went, and then I went, what? And they went, you've got to apologize. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I mean, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh. No idea. Pissing it down. And can you say bloody? You can't say bloody.
See, I think daytime TV is a bit weird, I think. They tend to play it very cautiously, I think.
It really is the G-rated swear word,
I mean, bloody's not. Yeah.
What about cunt? Is that okay?
I'd need to check on that.
Will you check that? Because I want to make sure.
I think Colleen Nolan's always dropping that on Loose Women.
Okay, good.
I think when Janet Street Porter says it, you're allowed. Yeah, no, you're allowed.
No one's going to argue with her. I will never, ever argue with JSP.
No.
She's good value. Though,
I wouldn't. She's
she?
Great value. Yeah. I wouldn't cross paths with that.
I can't even remember what we were talking about
either.
So, what was the original point? Is it just me? Oh no! So
the grunting.
We all make noises. Yeah.
There's got to be people out there grunting with us.
Please email in the show and reassure Ida that she's not alone.
I want to know when it happened for everyone too, because honestly, it was like an overnight thing.
Coming of age. It's
it's horrible because I like to think that I'm young, and then I make this horrible noise.
Oh yeah. If you're a doctor,
is it? Do you think it's a neurological disorder?
We wish.
Or is it really just the age?
It's just old age.
Is it just the age? Because I swear I'm not old.
But if you're
me either. Me either.
Don't you guys? Yeah. Is it just me? I mean, this is a very broad one, but is it just me, or do you all just feel really young still? Like, I mean, as I'm grunting with everything, but like, I'm delusional about my
God,
age.
Oh, totally. Me too.
Like, totally delusional.
Peter Pan syndrome over here.
Yeah, like, I still think I'm a kid, even though I clearly am not.
I just really worry that, like, people a lot younger than me look at me the way I used to look at old
people. Yes, yes. Yeah. I have that. Yeah. I have that.
And I don't look at me
and
like
I think
that.
We're like the same age.
Yeah.
And they're looking at me like, oh.
I have that. Yeah. I have an intense fear of the day when somebody offers me a seat on the tube.
That's bad.
Because that's when you know. Because my rule about that is I only would ever offer a seat to somebody who looks like my mum or dad.
Or
if they look like my mum or dad, aged. I'm allowed to offer them a seat.
No, I think you got to go. They've got to look like the skeletons from Pirates of the Caribbean. And then you're safe.
And then you're safe. Yeah. What about that thing where I don't think they do it over here, but like I feel like I've gone from a miss to a ma'am.
Oh.
Like I went to Disneyland and I was like, you know, parking the car and he was like, do you have your keys, ma'am? And I felt like smacking the guy. That's Miss to you.
I think because you're really powerful.
It's Miss.
I think that's what happened
to Miss?
Because they have that in France, because it's Mademoiselle and then it's Madame.
When do you become Madame? I don't want, no, go back to Mademoiselle.
Mademoiselle,
s'il vous plaît. Excusez-moi. Yeah, but like, when does that happen? When do you switch?
Problems.
When do you switch? I mean, I'm sure the grunting doesn't help the mademoiselle to madame transition, but like, come on, give a lady a break. Do you know what I mean? Do you do that thing? Is it just me where you go?
Give a lady her own show.
I know.
When you go and you're watching on TV and they say someone's like aged, you're like, no way, she's the same age as me. Can you? I mean, she looks so much older. And I look over Rob. Babe, she doesn't. That's what you look like. You're like,
burn.
Oh, no.
I know. A friend of mine
I'm so delusional.
No. Or when you see people and they tend to be on those sort of like audience shows. I'm not going to name any.
It says
so-and-so 35 and they look 500.
Yes. What is that? Is that what I look like?
No. Yeah. I turn to my husband and say, do I look like older than that?
Because I'm older.
I'm going to go there. I'm going to say, me and my friends, we call it the Jeremy Kyle age. What's your Jeremy Kyle age? Because you look at people and they are
12.
They're 29. They look 55.
Right?
And I'm going, my God, I'm a Jeremy Kyle.
Me too, right?
30.
Yes. Yes.
Sorry.
Or that thing where like they go, well, he's not playing anymore. He's over the hill. He's 32. And you're like, oh my God, I'm past retirement age. What's that? Yeah. Like,
oh God.
It's just
I think
all
we have to change topics before I want to kill myself.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the grey weather. I'm blaming the grey weather.
It's the weather. It's the grey weather. Nothing to do with talking.
Let's get some really old people in here so we feel you. Let's get someone who fought in World War I. Is there anyone left?
What did happen to Louis Walsh?
Yeah. Let's get Louis Walsh in here. Let's have a chat.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
Ida came in and sort of like said, no, all your topics are crap. All these actually better ones. So I'm going to introduce you.
By the way, we have to pay Ida a retainer because she came up with so many great topics that we're now going to steal for future shows.
Okay, you can do that.
Thanks.
Licensing fee is all I ask.
Oh, okay.
We can't afford her.
We'll get right onto that. Is it just me whose shoes lead a more fabulous lifestyle than me?
Yes.
Tell me about this.
Well, it's one of those things where when I open up my closet, I'm very fortunate to have some fabulous shoes. And I look at them, and so many of them have literally not been worn or worn once, because I actually don't do the fancy things that I think I do when I'm buying these shoes. Like, in my head, it's like I must obviously be going to a gala every night, yachting in the summer, you know, heading to the coolest, newest places and art gallery openings. But in reality, I'm usually cleaning up human poop from my children. I'm running to the gym or school pickup drop off, or I am doing some sort of art thing with glitter. And I'm wearing track pants. Like, I don't know where the crystal embellished spike heel comes, or the platform boot that's 18 inches tall. Like, I don't know who she is.
I think this becomes a conversation about not saving things for best.
Yes.
Because, you know, you've had a great life. You've worked hard. You've got a closet full of fancy shoes. Why can't you wear them?
But you know what? The other thing is they're so bloody uncomfortable.
Yeah. That is a problem.
Yeah. And like, I don't know who that girl is. I go, oh, I'd wear that to dinner for an hour. But I'm not walking anywhere in that. I'm not sitting. And like in my 20s, I think I would have, like I used to wear heels during the day in my 20s. Like there
I
was,
did too.
Did you do that where you just
then
walking?
I had to start grunting.
I didn't,
right.
By the way.
Did I did.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
You're
to get
out. Out of this one. But like, I feel like I would go to lunch in heels. There's
I would wear spike heeled knee high boots on the tube.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, rocking.
Never now. Yeah. Never. So I kind of opened this closet and I don't know if it's just complete identity crisis confusion, but there's just these shoes that I do not wear that are leading a completely, like, I think my shoes belong to Jennifer Lawrence and the shoes that I actually need to wear are the ones in the corner that are crumpled up that are just like the Nikes and the Uggs.
I just need to know what shoe size you are. Oh, yeah. And if I can come around.
You can totally come around.
Yeah. You are wearing some pretty amazing shoes.
These are Aquazura's, one of my favorite brands.
Aquazura's is one of my favorite brands.
They're amazing.
They're so good, right?
Yeah.
But like these will not be on my feet for 12 hours. Like if I was 20, this would have been, let's go get some coffee, let's go for a run,
let's go dancing till 4 a.m.
Now it's like, okay, I'm meeting Joe and James and let's put on a heel and then let's take it off.
Well, I have a question for you, because where do you guys stand on, because I have some friends that think it's very weird if I'm coming home, the second I get into the door, I don't change into like what they call pajamas or
you
house
don't
coat. No,
you stay in it.
So I'll, if
but I, that's because you're a man and I think your clothes are more comfortable.
Do you think?
Yeah, because, and you don't my middle-aged IBS issues. That,
IBS.
Like, you know, the trousers that fit me at 4
don't
at
fit
11 a.m.
at like don't 11 p.m. Yeah.
These are male friends of mine. Yeah. They think it's very, because they literally, they do it as soon as they get in. It's like part
of
the unwinding.
I take it off. It's
so
like
am
Cinderella.
I am I the weirdo then?
No, I think you're more,
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean,
it's
more
slightly more sophisticated.
Yeah.
I mean,
talking to your imaginary flatmate.
Yeah, exactly.
In your work clothes.
In my work clothes.
Festive
jumper.
What do you do in your private time?
You don't want to know. Very little.
I love that you stay in your nice clothes. Well, it's so sophisticated.
I mean, I've tried to embrace it now because I feel like maybe I'm at that age, because I've almost been shamed
into doing
it.
Maybe that's why you're sighing.
Pause himself.
Because you're in these very, very stiff clothes. Yeah. Maybe
that's the source of my sighing.
If only I could wear something comfortable.
It's a sigh of envy because I'm thinking, oh, everyone else is now
in
their
pants.
House clothing. And I'm.
Do you go, Joe, do you go in track? Do you go in like house
clothes? Oh my God. I've got a vast selection of what I call curry pants.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drawstring waist.
Yeah.
And last night I actually did try to resist, weirdly, just last night. No, be sophisticated. Keep your fashionable office look on. You know, save some laundry. And no, I think I lasted about 20 minutes. I was like, do you know what?
20 minutes is good.
I don't want to sit down in these jeans anymore. I want to actually go and put my curry pants on.
So I know it's literally like, it's worse than Cinderella. It's like if Cinderella was on some aggressive fairy program, because it's like, as soon as the foot goes in the front door, it's like, it just starts coming, get it off, you know, running up, like it's off. It's the shoes. They don't make it up the stairs. They're coming off before I go up those stairs.
Damn
like,
right.
Like it's not staying on for a second longer than it needs to.
It is scary because when you think about it, there's probably, if you broke it down into how much wear, some shoes and some items of clothing get versus other ones. It's probably quite frightening, isn't it?
The
glamorous stuff that probably takes up most of the wardrobe space.
The big budget and the wardrobe space, whereas the track pants and the pajamas are getting abused.
I guess we should start thinking about what we want to be buried in and like save some of that for
that's
best.
A nice,
I think we should.
Cheery, because we started talking to ourselves.
On a great day like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we should go fabulous, though. Come on, let's go
damn
fabulous.
Right.
Oh, do you know what I mean? We're not going
to
be feeling
I
the pinch.
I might need to borrow some of yours.
You can borrow. What size are your shoes?
6.5, 39. Mm. What are you? You're tiny, aren't you?
37.5.
Oh, damn.
Does anyone have a 37.5 out there?
Well, email the show if you do. I mean, I have to say,
sometimes a 38 if there's swelling. 38.
I've got to say, I mean, that's what I mean, there's one thing to say you loved about the Aretha Franklin's sad passing. The shoes she was buried in. That was just awesome. Everyone needs to go out in Aretha
good shoes.
Style,
yeah, you got to go out big.
Yeah,
Jimmy, what's the point? Absolutely. You don't want to be. You don't want to be understated.
You don't just want to die in your shoes, though. I think you should start sort of like just plan. Have a date night.
I should
have a
with,
fancy
with her shoes.
I don't even remember date nights. I need to have date nights. I'm calling Robbie. I'm angry.
I What has he done for you lately?
What has he fucking done? What does he do?
I don't know.
You're at work now.
I'm at work. Like, oh, God. Yeah, you can't complain about work because I'm doing it too. I need to wear my, I love, and by the way, I kind of think, but at the same time, I love fashion like I love art. Like even if I don't wear them, I go, well, how beautiful.
Exactly.
How gorgeous are they? I love her. What is that movie with Cameron Diaz? Do you know where In Her Shoes? Is that
Oh, that's
what it's
called.
That's what it's like. It's like I need to embrace the girl that's in my closet because I'm actually not the girl in my closet.
Yeah.
I think I'm the girl in my closet, but I'm not actually. I'm way more tired and grunty than the girl in
my
closet.
I think that's true of lots of people.
I'm the girl in my closet.
Are you?
Her and her carry pants.
I was going to say.
But you wear all the other good stuff. Do you wear?
I mean, I've got a few fancy things that barely see the light of day.
Yeah.
Probably not as many fancy things as you've got.
I do have that weird thing that I am that person. If I buy something, if I bought something at lunch today, it would be on my back probably by the end of the day.
Oh, you're, that's good tomorrow. Though. That's the way you should.
Yeah, but then you'd probably
this goes
about
on
for the next.
Do you know what? This is an interesting question. When you were a kid, when you were eating your food that you liked, did you save the best for last on your plate, or did you go eat the thing that you liked?
No, I always saved it. And my
me
daughter,
too.
I saved it.
You did. See, I was going to think that you were going to eat it first because I saved it.
My daughter does the opposite.
So does mine.
So then she's left with all the vegetables she doesn't want to eat. And I say, why didn't you just get that over with and then your chips
exactly
and ketchup are there as your reward? And she just thinks that's madness.
That's what my daughter is. She goes right in for the chips.
Yeah.
Whereas like my son,
I don't know which is the best philosophy.
Eats the, like, the peas first and the chips last. It's
me
interesting,
too.
Right?
It is. Yeah.
What is that?
I mean, definitely a chips last girl.
I'm a chips last girl. I save it. But I think that's what I do with my closet. Mm. I save it and then I don't go and do
but
it.
Come on. I mean, this is pretty fabulous. You're wearing a sort
good.
Of like a deconstructed
it's a Gaultier.
Pinstripe Gaultier suit. Yeah. I mean,
but like I'm doing this for you guys. Oh. I mean, if this I'm walking around my house in this.
I mean, if this is your Met outfit, then wow.
You know, well,
this is just this is her casual podcasting outfit.
This
I love
my
it.
Podcast, no one's seeing it, but you guys' outfit.
it's
but I'm a people pleaser, don't forget.
You are such a teacher's pet.
I'm a teacher's pet. I want to do right by you guys. Oh.
And,
you
know, you're getting a gold star.
Thank you.
Damn right.
And you get the apple, not us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us.
It was so much fun.
My God, we've had fun.
We really have. Can you please come back?
My cherry, by the way, it was so much better than the first time.
We were gentle, right?
We were gentle.
We popped that cherry gently.
You listened to my needs.
As far as first time
I feel like
go,
maybe you'll call me afterwards. I just feel like it's a much better situation.
I mean, my schedule
Joe's not sure.
Oh my God, Joe's going to ghost you.
I was about to say, it's starting to sound like the first time. If I get ghosted after this, guys.
I might breadcrumb you initially.
Thank you. That's way harsher is the immediate ghosting.
I mean, we've had our fun.
We've done it. What's done is done. We've got your topics for other people. What good are you?
You've been used and abused.
I can't wear your shoes. Leave. Just leave.
Oh, it's been nothing but a delight.
Yeah,
thank
it's been
you.
So much fun. And to everyone out in podcast land, thank you for listening to us.
Yes, thank you.
This
yes.
has been a giggle.
Ida, thank you again.
Thank
once
you so
again.
Much.
Good luck with everything. Thanks everyone for listening. And we'll see you again next Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.